this hot sunshine. Temperatures around about the triple digit marks in the Fahrenheit scale the area. I don't think it's quite up that hot this afternoon as yet. Well, I looked at the weather forecast earlier on, and just down the road they were predicting 102 degrees in the middle of the afternoon. So it's going to be another hot one this weekend, and has caught people out, these warmer temperatures here in the middle part of the American Le Mans Series season. Talking to Richard Westbrook in the farm back of Lowell's Porsche. They had pole position, of course, last weekend at Lime Rock. Is it only last weekend? Sure. Packed quite a lot in since then, backwards and forwards across the Atlantic twice. And they said basically that when the heat came up on Saturday, that the tyres that they'd picked for qualifying, after about half a dozen laps, they were goosed. And he just had to stay out there and fight the car. And I can't see many people going for radical tyre choices this weekend. When we come to qualifying later on this afternoon, they'll want a tyre that's going to be durable in case it's hot again on Saturday afternoon.
I think you're right, John Hindhoff, and particularly here, there's a lot of pretty high-speed corners here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, so it really can't, the tyres really do take a bit of a caning. It's primarily a right-handed circuit. Most of the corners are right-handed here, as they were at Lime Rock Park, but certainly at Lime Rock Park, most of the teams tend to go with almost an oval setup. I mean, it's set up primarily for those right-hand turns. There's really only one left-handed turn, that's through the S's at Lime Rock Park, so they set it up to be good through the right-handers and then pretty much give up that left-hand corner. Some of the drivers can muscle it through it, then they're fine, because it's not really a critical corner in terms of lap time or in overtaking. But here, you certainly, I think there's more of a symmetrical setup on the car, a more traditional road course setup.
It was very slippery this morning. I was out at 8 o'clock in the Corvette, one of the Vitesse cars, thanks to Patty Mayer and the guys for letting me go out and have a look at the track. And never ceases to impress me, the circuit itself here. It's absolutely glorious, a real driver's circuit. And the drivers tell you they feel they can make a difference here, and that's what drivers like. But it was slippery, really hard to get the power down, even in a lap or so of tooling around this morning in a road car. The guys from Porsche who I was with last night, Sasha Maston and Pat Long, telling me that turn one here, you don't even brake. You come in, it's down to fifth gear, off the throttle, straight back on, and straight through it in fifth gear. There's no braking at all.
And quite high G-forces through there as well.
Three and a half G.
Yep.
It never ceases to amaze me when you talk to these guys. They are a breed apart, because the sort of things that they're talking about are just impossible for the average human being to understand, because they're just not within our terms of reference, Jeremy.
That's true. The performance capabilities of these cars really are pretty outstanding. And it takes a driver, he's going to be driving these cars regularly. It's awfully difficult just to hop in and be right on the pace. And that's why, once again, harking back to, there's an off-course excursion there for one of the Dyson Racing cars.
It's a 20 car. And at the moment, that has got Marino Franchitti in the car. And that's very unusual for Marino to be off the track. It was, in fact, there's another car off. Now, this is one of the additions this weekend. This is the second Intersport car, the number 30 car, 30. John Faulkner driving there. And it was in the same sort of area as Marino's. I thought Marino was off at the top of the hill there, at the exit of the hairpin.
Keyhole
turn.
This is down the S's, I think, isn't it? Beginning of the S's.
Yeah.
Yes, the end of the back straight.
Good to see Intersport with a second car here this weekend for a team that are based not too far away from this track.
That's right, based in Dublin, Ohio, just less than an hour's drive, certainly. And they've really stepped it up. They've got two new drivers to the American Le Mans Series in that car, number 30, this weekend. John Faulkner, he's an older driver. He's 50 plus, 53 or 40. And he only started racing half a dozen years or so ago in Star Mazda. He's won a couple of Masters Championships, I believe, in the Star Mazda series, and now setting his eyes on sports car racing. And at the other end of the spectrum, in his co-driver, Ryan Lewis, from the UK. He's raced in Atlantic the last couple of years. Before that, he raced in British Formula 3, in Formula Palmer Audi. He won the championship 3 or 4 years ago as well. So a lot of single-seater experience, both of these two. And now setting their eyes, as are a lot of younger drivers, well, younger and older drivers, on sports car racing.
So the fastest time is still that time set very early on by the 66 car, which then spent an awful long time in the pit lane for Simon Pagenaud. But he's back out there now, an 11.5 last time around, getting back up to speed.
They're just using this as a test session, just trying to develop the car. They've not had a lot of time on this track. They had, as John said earlier on, an hour and a half yesterday, and most of the teams were here a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. The ACCO team certainly had a test here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, and the Andretti Green team also were here at the beginning of, not this week, but last week, to get a little bit of practice for Marco Andretti and Frank Montagny in preparation for both Lime Rock last week and for Mid-Ohio again this weekend. So still, Simon Pagenaud fastest overall in car number 66, 1:08.823. Second fastest, car number 1, Ronaldo Capello. The quickest of the Audi R10 TDI is 1:09.705. Then car number 2, second of the Audis. Then Adrian Fernandez pops up into fourth place. Adrian Fernandez, he's raced here for a lot of years in a lot of different sorts of cars. In Indy Lights, he won here in the Champ car in 98, I believe it was. And he's another one who just loves this Mid-Ohio sports car course. So fourth fastest now for the Lowe's. Fernandez racing car number 15. Another of the Acuras just ahead of Rafael Matos. Behind Matos is Scott Sharp in the fourth of the Acura ARX-01B. So the quickest of the Porsches is Timo Bernhardt, car number 7, down in a surprisingly lowly 7th place overall.
Jeremy Shaw there with me, John Hindorf. Welcome to the American Le Mans Series Radio Network. Those of you just joining us, about halfway through this session, technical problems, I'm afraid, dogging us earlier on the telecom system here at Mid-Ohio, not playing ball with us today. Noticed quite a lot of the cars in the pit lane, Jeremy, having quite extensive changes made to chassis, mainly to dampers and springs there. The same could be said in the Firestone Indy Light and the IndyCar, two of the other series that are with us this weekend. I noticed a lot of spring changes going on the dampers and in the single seaters, particularly in the IndyCars. Of course, that's a spec series, so they've all got a more flat playing field. But I'm quite surprised to see people, after running for an hour and a half yesterday, making such wide-ranging changes in the pit lane.
Yeah, of course, yesterday some of the support classes were out yesterday afternoon, but within the last 45 minutes, the IndyCars were running, and that's a brand new, or a completely different, I should say, brand of tyre that's laying down rubber here. Running the Firestone tyres, of course, is the IndyCar series, and you get different layers of rubber on the racetrack, then it does tend to alter the way the sports cars react on top of that. So, there's some dialing in of these chassis to be done, but, within about 15 or 20 minutes, then you get your sort of regular race rubber laid down. By that, I mean that the cars you're regularly racing with in the American Le Mans series in this instance, and then the track pretty much comes back to you. So the teams have got to be careful. They don't go out there, first of all, feel the cars all over the place, make some changes, and then come to discover later on, well, that was because of the different rubber that was laid down before. So they've got to be approach these changes philosophically.
109.3 from Pagenaud last time around. He's getting within half a second of his best time, the 66 car for Childeferrin Racing. And we've got a red flag out on the circuit. Now, let's see if we can pick up why that is. Everybody will dive back to the pit lane exactly halfway through the session at the moment. And
just exactly halfway through, isn't it? Pretty much on the dot. Half an hour through an hour-long practice session.
So, cars trailing in to the pit lane. I was just saying the Pagenaud looked like he was winding up for another... I was about to say that he was winding up for another quick lap. The Porsche drivers were astounded at the lack of grip that they had yesterday. They were really struggling.
Judging by the early times today, it's the same again. The quickest of the Porsches is Timo Bernhardt in car number 7. He's a full 1.75 seconds slower than the pace-setting time of Simon Pagenaud. So they've clearly got a little bit of work to do. The Porsches now, the Porsche RS Spiders, currently shown in 7th, 8th, 9th and 10th and that respectively would be car number 7, 6, 16 and 20. The four of them within about 3/4 of a second of each other, but as I said, a second and 3/4 slower than car number 66, the Acura of Simon Pagenaud. Well, down there, it's car number 46 now that is fastest in GT2. That's Johannes van Overbeck and Patrick Pilet in the fastest of the three Flying Lizards cars. Car number 46, 1:20.6, and that's about 3/4 of a second slower than the qualifying track record set last year by Jamie Mello in car number 62, the Risi Competizione Ferrari. And that's a great battle going on this season between Ferrari and Porsche. And we didn't really talk about it a lot last week, John, but the Porsches are running this new 4-litre engine now. They've gone up from 3.8 to 4 litres, and it's not got any more horsepower. Actually, the air restrictor is a little bit smaller on this larger capacity engine, but it does give, as I say, about the same amount of horsepower as before, but a better torque curve, more drivability. They're trying to make that car more tractable, better out of the corners. And I was talking to Richard Westbrook, who was driving the Farnbacher Lowell's car number 87, Porsche GT3 RS, and he was saying that it does take quite a different driving style. You're used to using as many revs as you can as a racing driver, but with this car, it's got so much more torque, so much lower down the rev range, it becomes much more effective. And he said he doesn't feel like you're going as fast as you were, but if it doesn't feel quick, it tends to be faster with this new 4-litre Porsche engine.
Can't tell you why we had the stoppage there. But it was a short one, maybe a piece of debris on the circuit that the IMSA safety crew have got to and got cleared up. The fastest of the GT2 cars, not Richard Westbrook, he's down in fourth, ahead of him in third, Jamie Mellor, second, Dominic Farnbacher, and the leading car, the 46 Lizards, they've had a really good run of late.
Yeah,
and what's impressed me, Jeremy, is that it's not just one car.
Yeah.
You know, they're running three cars, which is very difficult to do. It's bad enough trying to run two cars, but the effort, extra effort required to run that third car is not just half as much again, is it?
You're absolutely right. They've won three of the five races. The car number 45 has won three of the five races, but the number 46 car has certainly been right on the pace just about everywhere, and from time to time, the number 44 Flying Lizard Porsche has also been competitive. I think for a while they were running 1-2-3, were they not, last week? Certainly at Lime Rock they appeared to have a 1-2 finish pretty much in the bag, until unfortunately there was a bit of a misunderstanding late in the race, and that 46 car of Johannes van Overbeck was involved in an incident, and the radiators were damaged. They ran it out of coolant and I didn't do the engine much good, so that engine has been back to the Porsche Motorsports North America shop in Southern California, and then flown back here again to put it in that car. They had two engines actually from that team back to California and back here with only a couple of days to work on them. So those guys have been busy.
Bit of cloud cover coming over the Mid-Ohio Sports Car course at the moment. Watch out for some quick times coming in. Pagenaud back in the pit lane, and as have many of the Acuras and indeed some of the other prototypes, the rear deck is off that car. The mechanics are working around the rear end. Now they look like they might be doing something to do with the wing, maybe the gearbox. I wonder if they're doing it.
Well, I think as much as anything else, John, it is pretty hot out there, and one of the reasons for taking the engine cover off is just to get a little bit more cooling to it. So not necessarily indicative, I think, of a problem or even a sort of major change.
But they are doing wing. Yep. They're doing wicker bill and wing changes on the rear, the secondary plane on that rear wing, and that is almost done, because I can see the black and blue bodywork is about to go back onto the back of the 66 car, and as I say that, the sun comes out again. We should also mention the return of the number 18. This is the VC Racing Porsche team, white with the bright yellow accent and then light and dark blue on the side. We thought there might be two cars here from them this weekend, but only the 18, the five car not appeared.
Not yet, no. I believe they're doing some update. They too are doing upgrades to their team. That current rate team, I believe, has the new 4-litre engine in, and they're going to try and get the second of the 4-litre engines to get ready, and hopefully car number 5 will be back on the scene before too long. But as you say, right now, just the number 18, and it's the two brothers from Holland, Nicky Pastorelli, who did Champ Cars on and off for the last couple of years, and his younger brother, Francesco. So it's good to see those two back. And another car that's not new this weekend, but there's some changes this weekend, is the car number 8, the Lola Mazda. It's been running on Yokohama tires up until now, and this weekend it's on Dunlop tires for the very, for the first time on a race weekend. I gather that they had a test session on the Dunlops just really to do a baseline a few weeks ago, and it was a bit more pace, but particularly consistency that had been lacking on that car. And I know they were thrilled with the way the car that handled on the Dunlops, and that's what they are running this weekend. But unfortunately, yesterday they went out and they had an engine problem. The cars ran super reliably all season long, hasn't it? Then they go two laps yesterday, kaboom.
Off has gone the Ford GT down at the S's. I'm not expecting overly much of that Mazda this weekend, because although they feel that in the longer term, medium to longer term, the new rubber will help them. Of course, they've got a whole set of setup sheets that are based on Yokohama rubber. And you know, as well as anybody from your racing experience, Jeremy, that you change one thing on a car, it has knock-on effects everywhere else. And things, particularly on these P2 cars, which are so sensitive to things like ride height, but things like caster, camber, toe, all of that that you're going to be playing with to get the optimum out of the tyres and get the heat across the broadest amount of the tyres, that's now a whole different ballgame. They've basically thrown all that data up in the air, and they might as well just rip up their sheets and start again.
Yeah, right. You know, all the testing they've done over the last 6 months or so with that Yokohama engine tyred car, you're right, it's not going to be much use to them now. Different characteristics of this Dunlop rubber, but you know, that's why they were so disappointed to lose that hour and a half track time yesterday. The car's been super reliable, and you know, they ran here a few weeks ago, they had a two-day test here, ran flawlessly, so at least they got a reasonable amount of laps around here, and much of that test was run on the Dunlop tyre, so they do have some experience, but they really were looking forward to that extra hour and a half running yesterday.
68.8, still the best time by Simon Pagenaud from early on. Just watching on board with the Audi R10 TDI up behind the, I think it's the number 30. It's one of the two. I'm trying to see who
it is.
It's
hard to tell those two apart.
Yeah, it is the 30 car with John Faulkner in it. And the Audi down the start straight. Remember, there's a start straight and a finish straight here because it's two different places. The Audi couldn't get by that Intersport car on power. That is a quick little car in a straight line.
Certainly is, and we saw that, didn't we, at Miller Motorsports Park out in Salt Lake a couple of months ago, where John Field in the early laps of the race was absolutely magnificent. He blew off both of the Audis, led the race absolutely legitimately on pace, and it was a stunning effort. And yeah, that AER twin turbo 4-litre V8 engine has plenty of horsepower.
So with just 20 minutes to go, it's still Pagenaud in the 66 Acura with the fastest time. Remember, these standing for nothing other than bragging rights, but the teams and drivers of the American Le Mans Series will want to be dialing these cars in. Pirot now at the wheel of the number one Audi R10 TDI, just the second time that car has been here. Lucas Lowe just 0.03 seconds behind. There's 0.8 between Pagenaud and the rest of the field at the moment, and that is an eternity here. Last week at Lime Rock Park, albeit a shorter circuit, the top 10, right until the end of qualifying, there was not 0.1 of a second between any of the positions until David Brabham went and pulled out a super quick time and put 0.386 in over the second place, which was more time than separated the whole of the rest of the top 10. It was just outstanding. One of the closest qualifying sessions we've seen in the American Le Mans Series. And I think we're in for another one of these really exciting 20-minute sessions for the GT and then 20 for the prototypes later on this afternoon. It's still Johannes van Overbeck leading GT2 from Dominic Farnbacher in the 71, 46, 71 and 62, the top three. And between those three cars, a 1/10 in fourth position, Richard Westbrook for the Farnbacher Lords car, loving this American racing. He said to me yesterday, one of the first people that I saw when I came into the paddock, he said, Hindhoff, I've got to tell you, you've been telling me to come and race here for at least 5 or 6 years, and I wish I'd come 5 or 6 years ago. The levels of professionalism, the people that he's racing for, the people that he's racing against, the series, the administration, everything. He is just absolutely loving it. And his only regret is, Jeremy, that he didn't come out, as I say, 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's great to see he's got this opportunity with Farnbacher Lowell's Racing, and certainly that team which is based in Connecticut. They are loving their involvement in the American Le Mans Series as well, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them expanding to a two-car operation.
I think you're right.
Certainly for next year, if not before that. But it's so close in GT2. The quickest time by that car number 46, I think it was set by Patrick Pilet earlier
in
the session, but Jan van Overbeck at the wheel right now. 1 minute 20.6, and 1 second covers the first six in that class. And then what's interesting to me is that some of the other guys are catching up as well. It's the usual Ferrari versus Porsche battle at the front of GT2, but Tommy Milner in the number 21 panels, which has got new rear bodywork, new to the whole tail section, roof section on that car from last week, and it's showing pretty good pace in seventh in that class, just about a second and a half slower than the class leader at the moment. And then behind him is a couple of the Ferraris and Porsches, and then the quickest of the two now, Ford Doran GTRs. Those are gorgeous-looking cars, aren't they? They're both in the 1 minute 23-second range, which is pretty impressive. They're really improving those cars and getting closer to the ultimate pace, as is the 007 Aston Martin, with Johnny Cocker having set a 1 minute 23-second lap earlier in this session as well.
Yeah, Paul Drayson in behind the wheel at the moment. One or two drivers just doing three or four lap runs and then diving back into the pit lane. The seven car with Timo Bernard aboard doing just that in front of us at the moment. I'm talking about exciting developments for the championship. Nigel Mansell was testing a Lola in Portugal yesterday with Leo, the younger of his two sons, alongside him. And rumours have abounded for some time that Nigel wants to come and play with sports cars. And I think he likes the idea of a car with him and his two sons in it.
And very much so.
I'm hearing very strong rumours that there's a deal in the offing, by no means signed, sealed and delivered, to get Nigel and the boys across for perhaps even as early as Petit Le Mans this year, as off again has gone the Robertson Racing Ford GT, this time at the opposite side of the track at the S's. I think it's David Robertson that's driving that car. It is the Stars and Stripe helmet in behind the wheel of the Pilotti-sponsored silver Ford GT.
I think he'd just gone out of the pit lane. It might even be his out lap, actually, so that's not what we need. You need to get the tyres and everything up to temperature, get used to the feel of the car if you're just taking over in the session. There's three drivers in that car. David Murray is the experienced professional driver, been around this Ford a long, long time, primarily in Porsches, but now he's loving driving this Ford GTR, and you're enjoying the development work on that car as well. And now with the sister car, the second of those Ford Doran GTRs, now here with the Falcon Tires, car number 54, running with Anthony Lazzaro and Tim Pappas. I think there's going to be some trade back of information between those two teams, I'm sure, through Kevin Doran's organisation, and that will end up improving the breed and getting both of them closer to the ultimate pace in GT2.
I do think that we're in a boom time for sports cars at the moment. Mention of the Mansell's potential foray.
Yeah, because Nigel's done a couple of races in Europe, hasn't he?
He has.
That GT2 car, and I know he enjoyed those, and he's still got the racing bug, and he drove what Bob Berridge, the Chamberlain Synergy car.
Correct, and he knows Bob because, of course, he raced in the Masters, which Bob was one of the coordinators for. I'm not sure whether it'll be that car or something else. Also hearing that one of the teams that are coming into the series at the moment, waiting for them to declare their intentions with a prototype, potentially have two new prototypes rather than just the one, and are trying to tempt back into the championship some very big names who's been racing with us earlier on in the season. Work that one out if you can. A driver who we thought we'd sadly seen the last of after the All-Star break for Le Mans. And, well, we'll keep our eyes on all of this. It's a tremendous time.
Come on, don't be coy.
Frank Beeler.
Thank you.
Frank Beeler is the name that I've been told by about three different people who is desperate to get back into the American Le Mans Series.
He loves his racing. He loves his racing in any case, and particularly.
Loves it here.
Yeah.
And it will be a big wrench for Frank if he's not racing for Audi. He's been with them forever.
But it'd be a bigger wrench not to be racing.
To racing, yes. Oh, no.
Yeah, that would be great to see.
And I'm really excited about the last third of the season. I think we'll see some of these teams who are making their plans already for next year with at least a couple or maybe three. And we could have, if everything happens, we could have maybe four or five new prototypes for the last couple of races. And possibly another, so just counting my head, about another four or five GT cars. So all of a sudden we'd have 40 cars for the last two races, and
it'll work for us. Great, love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, you call this work?
Yeah, well, really.
The hardest thing about what I do is sit in airports and on aeroplanes with wires.
There's also that, you know, this talk, isn't there, about Acura. They're running these cars now in LMP2, and you know, are they going to announce an LMP1 car? Now, certainly that was the goal coming in to this program a couple of years ago. They ultimately want to race at Le Mans. I think they made no secrets of that. And, you know, there's gathering word, I would say, in the paddock, isn't there, that maybe they will announce sooner rather than later an LMP2, an LMP1 program, possibly even for 2009.
Who's in the 9 car at the moment? It's Scott Sharp, getting up to speed very quickly. Just made an audacious pass around the outside of the keyhole there, proving to me, as if we didn't know it, that just how planted that Acura chassis is. Pagenaud still with the 108.8 that he put in earlier on. He got down to a 9.3, didn't he, just before we had that very brief red flag. You were talking about David Murray earlier on. David Murray and Johnny Morlam, I think, he got down to a 9.3, didn't he, just before we had that very brief red flag. You were talking about David Murray earlier on. David Murray and Johnny Morlam, I think, hold an interesting record for sports car, major international sports car racing, because Flying Lizard, this is one with the yellow shade band, looks like he lost out of the final corner. It was Jörg Bergmeister who has had a little aberration there. Yeah, David Murray and Johnny Morlam, I believe, were the last driver pairing to win a major international sports car race, albeit in class, in a turbocharged 911. That was just when they were changing to the naturally aspirated, and I've got a feeling it was Laguna Seca at the end of one of the early American Le Mans Series races. That seems such a long time ago. 10 years of the ALMS this year, 10 years of stability in sports car racing. And, you know, there's that word again, Jeremy. We were talking about it with AGR earlier on, stability. And, you know, why is the American Le Mans Series doing so well? Why does it continue to attract new manufacturers? Quite simply because the package is set and has been for the better part of 10 years. The TV package is good. Everybody knows what it's going to be. Scott Atherton will be doing his State of the Series address in October at Petite and announcing the schedule for next year. People can make plans. They know where they're going to be. They know that which weekend, which race, and that's the sort of thing that builds a fan following, but also builds a following in terms of the all-important sponsors, manufacturers, that makes a, you know, and let's be honest, not churlish about it, it is about who is prepared to splash the cash at the end of the day. Got to get a decent return for it.
Yeah. But, you know, that with turnouts, fan turnouts like we've had certainly last weekend, I'm sure we're expecting this weekend as well, you know, that certainly gives a good return on the investment. And as you said, the television package is, you know, is very impressive.
15% of the fans at the gates in the early part of the season.
No, I think there's at least that at Lime Rock as well.
That's an average. That was an average up to that was the first five, I think, Jeremy, before Le Mans, that it was averaged out at 15% up. And any series that's any sport, in fact, never mind motor racing, anybody at the moment with the current financial climate who's doing better than holding their own is actually doing pretty well.
Back to the timing charts. No change at the front. The first four still the same. Car number 66, then 1, 2 and 15. And I was going to say that car number 26 had just moved up into sixth place with an improvement. That would be Frank Montagny, also now below the 1 minute 10 bracket, 1 minute 9.952. And as I was saying, that Timo Bernhardt goes through in the quickest of the Porsches, the Penske Porsche RS Spider, car number 7. Just edges out Frank Montagny with a 1 minute 9.903. So we've now got six cars below the 1 minute 10 bracket. Down in GT1, it's still the Jan Magnussen, car number 3, with Johnny O'Connell, 117.4. Surprisingly, over a second quicker than the car, let's say car number four, car number three, that would be, over a second quicker than car number four, the Ollies, Olivier Beretta and Oliver Gavin, 118.5. Johannes van Overbeck and Patrick Pile in car number 46 for the Flying Lizard Porsche team, still quickest in GT2, and an improvement to the fourth place in the class with Richard Westbrook, 1 minute 20.8. So the top five cars in GT2 covered by just over 0.3 seconds.
Thanks, Jeremy. Jeremy Shaw, 9.5 minutes to go. I wonder if there is anyone going to pop out and just stick a new set of tyres on and go for a low-fuel run at the end, or whether they're going to have another look at the conditions in the second hour of practice, which you'll hear live, and hopefully the whole of it, on the American Le Mans Series Radio Network. Apologies again for a slightly tardy start. Didn't miss much, really. Circumstances beyond our control, I'm afraid, today. And thanks to Tim Gray in London, who, as ever, have been doing a fantastic job on the technical side. And we will try and restore the ISDN line so that we've got some decent quality for you for qualifying and, of course, for the 2 hours and 45 of the race tomorrow. Don't forget warm-up as well, Saturday morning. Saturday is race day for the American Le Mans Series in 2008. The fans wanted it, and it's been super successful. I think only two Sundays racing this year, one of which is at Mosport in a month or so's time, back to back with Detroit. Looking forward to those two events. Got Road America coming up before then, and then end of the season, Petit Le Mans and Laguna Seca. And I didn't realise how much I missed Laguna Seca till I didn't get there last year. My annual dose of late spring West Coast sunshine. Jeremy Shaw lives on the West Coast, so he gets a little sympathy from me.
Yeah, because I used to live about an hour away from here, actually, which was fine in the summer.
In
the spring and the fall. No, summertime's too hot.
All right.
Summertime's too cold for me.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, give me California personally any day, but that's just a personal thing. But no, it's a great racetrack here, and of course Laguna Seca has a lot in common with this place.
Elevation.
In terms of that, certainly, and the challenge for the drivers. What it doesn't have is the humidity, nor the
greenery. Yes, very good.
Yes. Great part of the world, up in the hills of the Monterey Peninsula. Oh. It's a great place to go racing, as you say, John.
End of the season as well. I've got a feeling that there'll still be battles to be sorted by then, and titles up for grabs. I thoroughly recommend it if you're thinking of taking some time off, whether you're listening to us in Europe or here in the United States. Last 6 minutes, and Pagenaud's just popped out again, getting a bit of heat into the Michelin tyres as he was heading across the start line, excuse me, the finish line, now up the hill to the keyhole. He's got the 44 Flying Lizard right ahead of him.
Yes, that'll hold him up on that lap, certainly going through the keyhole. This will not be a particularly quick lap, and of course traffic here, you know, very much plays a role, doesn't it, in all the American Le Mans Series races, and it can be very, very frustrating for the drivers in both classes. I mean, the prototypes want to find their way through and make the passes and get a clear lap in, but so do the GT classes as well. They might not be as quick, particularly on the straights, the GT2 cars compared to the prototypes, but elsewhere they are, through some of the corners, and particularly under braking, they're very effective indeed.
Quick half spin there for the 18. It's the VC Racing Porsche.
I'd say that's Pastorelli at the wheel, wouldn't you?
Yes, Francisco at the wheel. Who is the younger of the two? Is that right?
That's correct. 21 years old. Yeah. Done some racing in open wheel and sports cars in Holland and in Europe in general, but certainly this is a league above what he has competed in before, and loving it.
Also,
made their debut at Salt Lake City.
They did, and I was in one of the airports that I went through on my way back from that. Saw them very well matched as a pair, clearly. I mean, sometimes you get a bit of, always with your teammate, you get a bit of friction and a bit of competitiveness. With brothers, it can only go one of two ways. They're either miles apart or very close, and those two do seem to be very close. They were having a ball in the airport lounge before boarding their flight. Looks like Romain Dumas back behind the wheel of the 7 car, taken on from Timo Bernard, who was in that car earlier on.
And they've just been pipped against. Back and forth has been between car number 7, that would be Roman Dumartiki, over from Timo Bernard, and car number 26, the XM Satellite Radio and Ready Green racing car. Frank Montagny just improved last time around. 1:09.898. So it's very, very close here. The Simo Passion is still way out in front of 1:08.8. And then it's very close behind that. 1:09.7 for... Yeah, that was close, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's three prototypes.
Actually, those two cars that I was talking about, 7 and 26,
are there,
duking it out side by side, I believe, going up into the King Hill.
And John Fields just passed both of them on the finish straight, and he's pulling away as if he's being shot by a gun down the start straight, down towards the Essis. A 37 car, uber quick down the hill.
You love the horsepower, don't you?
Oh, he is absolutely loving it. Meantime, the third of the three cars, as they go through the S's and over the top of the skyline there, is the 26 car, Frank Montagny, who has really got to grips with American Le Mans Series and sports car racing here in the States very, very quickly indeed. And hand up for Romain Dumas.
Coming into the pits.
Well, he's a long way off. He's just coming through.
Well, he's letting Montagny go.
Yeah.
I think he realised he was being held up by the Intersport cars. The Intersport car, as you say, the number 37 Lola AER, much faster on the straight, but holding up Dumas through the corner. So Romain Dumas saying to himself, okay, you go on through, and I'll get myself some clear space and see what I can do to put together a fast lap. And he's done exactly that. He's given himself plenty of room, and he now flashes across the start-finish line. And now I think we'll see what Romain Dumas can do in car number 7.
Lucas Lure as well in the number 2 Audi R10 TDI. He's winding up to a quick one, as is Paginot. Paginot's just done a 9.5. That's the quickest lap he's done for some time. And that is the quickest lap that anyone has done,
well, that's
apart
right.
from himself.
Yeah, he's got the first, I think, at least top three fastest overall laps in this session, but it's very close behind him. Between 1:09.7 and 1:09.9, there are five cars. That's numbers 1, 2, 15, 26, and 7. So it's really tight there in that battle for second overall at this stage in what is, as you said earlier on, John, still a practice session.
We have seen racing break out in practice sessions in the past, and I hope that we're going to get a nice clean session before the four poles are decided a little bit later on this afternoon. One car that we haven't seen too much of at the moment is the 9 Tequila Patron Acura. Here it is at the top of the hill at the keyhole, and it's Scott Sharp who has done, last time around was held up. I'm not sure whether Scott was in early on. I think he was. I think he did that 10.5.
Romain Dumas just came across the line to 1:10.5, but I think even by the end of the lap, having given himself a huge amount of space, still was held up a little bit through the carousel.
And look at Paginot's time, an 8.8.
Yeah,
so he's got a 1:08.823, a 1:08.89, and, well, he now has got probably close on half a dozen of the fastest laps. Still no one within 0.8 of a second. No one else in the 1:08. No one down near him. 8.8 of a second, almost 9.9 between Paginot and that early lap in the 66 ELS, the Panasonic-sponsored Acura, the black, blue and red machine. As we've got a new fastest lap in the GT2 category, this is the Farmbacker Lowell's car, which was on pole position last week. Dirk Werner at the wheel of that car, having taken over from the early part of the session, which was driven by Richard Westbrook. Just watching Scott Sharp go around the 16 Dyson Porsche, and there's a spin at the top of the hill.
Oops.
That is the 40 car. Excuse me, it's not. It's the Falcon car, the 54. Tim Pappas at the wheel. Checkered flag is out, and Simon Paginot has then got the fastest time, that 1:08.8. No one close to him, Jeremy Shaw.
No, there was a slight improvement that time for car number 26, Frank Montagny for Andretti Green Racing. He does not improve his overall position, but he does set a slightly faster time, 1:09.775. So we've got car number 1, Emanuele Pirro, and Dindo Capello at 1:09.7, a Lucas Lure in car number 2 at 1:09.7, Adrian Fernandez 1:09.7, and Frank Montagny at 1:09.7 as well. So numbers 1, 2, 15 and 26 within literally thousands of a second each of them.
In GT1 it's Jan Magnussen from Olli Gavin, just half a second between the 3 and the 4 car.
Now, Ollie Gavin's teammate sprayed me with sparkling cider at the last event, and so I did say at the time we wouldn't be mentioning this weekend, and so the Monegasque driver who is normally in that car will be invisible to us this weekend. TT2, Dirk Werder has a 120.5 ahead of a 120.6 from the Flyingers at 46, which finished the session with Johannes van Overbeck in the cockpit. Dominic Farnbacher is third for Tafel. Porsche, Ferrari, and Ferrari in fourth position as well. Mika Salo in the 62 Risi car. Really neat to get their American season started. It's been dire look for Risi in that 62 car. Jörg Bergmeister, the second of the Lizards, in fifth position. Just on, well, let me see, 0.4 behind the fastest car in class. And rounding up the hot half dozen is his teammate and team owner, Seth Nyman, on a 21.4. So top six then, separated by just under a second in GT2. And there's some big names. Some big names outside the top six in the GT category there, Jeremy.
Yes, there are. Patrick Friesacker driving car number 61, the second of the recent competition, the only Ferraris. He's in seventh place overall in GT2, followed by Alex Figge in the second of the Tafel Racing Ferraris, car number 73. Alex Figge, latterly of the Champ Car World Series the last couple of years. And he had a difficult weekend at Lime Rock. He had an incident in one of the practice sessions, but came back in a good solid race there. And Alex Figge in car number 73 had a very good test session yesterday as well. And now, you know, up in the thick of the action, just over a second off the ultimate pace in GT2. But Alex Figge and Jim Tafel, they're certainly getting that car closer to the pace.
I would make time for it wherever you are. I've just got one of those little feelings that what we have coming up in the next hour, and particularly in the 20-minute qualifying session, first the GT cars, of course, and then the prototype cars will come out second after about a 10-minute break. I just have a little feeling that we might be talking about this one again as another classic. We've had some great entertainment and action from the American Le Mans Series this year. I honestly, in the whole of the 10 years we've been here, I can't remember having a better start to the season in terms of just how closely matched. Nobody is running away with any of the races. Some of the races that we would expect either Porsche or Audi to do best at, it's been turned on its head. And about the only thing we know, Jeremy, is, you know, the only consistency has been the inconsistency of the results, because really, roll the dice, and it could be any one of the top seven or eight cars who take either pole position or indeed a race victory.
Indeed so, and it's, as you say, completely wide open this weekend in all of the classes, really. There might be only two cars in GT1, but those two Corvettes, factory Corvettes, there's no team orders there. It's every man for himself. Always has been, always will be.
That's just about it from myself and Jeremy. Our thanks to Lindy and Jamie, who we didn't get to hear from in this session, but have been working away down in the pit lane with some recalcitrant electronic gear. And we will be continuing to work in the next 2 hours to try and get our links sorted back to you wherever you are in the world. For the moment, however, thanks for listening, and don't forget to be back with us in about 2 hours for the final practice and qualifying from round six, as it is now, of the American Le Mans Series 2008. This is the Acura Sports Car Challenge at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. See you soon.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, go to www.radiolemans.com. Radio Show Limited. We talk to the world.